The other day, Norma came to me. Norma, by the way, if you don't know, is my wife. And she said to me, honey, and she calls me that once in a while, especially when she wants something. She said, honey, may I have the car Saturday? And I said, and for what reason? Well, she said, I want to go to the mall. She said, you understand that conference starts next week, and I always get something new for conference, and I haven't gotten it yet, and I'd like to go and get it. And so I gave her the car, reluctantly. Often our grandchildren spend time with us. It's been a wonderful summer. They have spent a lot of time at our house this summer, and all the time, almost all the time, one of them will say to me, Papa, can we go to the mall today? And I will say to them, why do you want to go to the mall? And they will nearly always answer the same way, so that we can get something new, a new thing. New things often lift our spirits, at least temporarily. Sometimes they take away the boredom of life. In our text, God is saying to the nation of Israel, after years of captivity and enslavement, I am doing a new thing. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now, I want you to understand that God is not promising them a new suit of clothes, or a new toy, or a new car, or a new tool. God is saying to this beloved nation that he had set apart, I want to do in you something different, something new, something dynamically spiritual that will change your way of thinking and your way of living. Can we talk? I have been around here a long time. Fact of the matter is, I've been here now over 20 years. And I know many of you very well. And you know me pretty well. I've learned about your weaknesses, and you've learned about mine. I know some of your strengths, and you know some of mine. But you know what I believe? From the bottom of my heart, I believe that we need to have God do a new thing in us. God needs to do a new thing in you. And God needs to do a new thing in me. So that corporately, collectively, he can do a new thing in our church. What a wonderful thing it would be that before we have a new pastor step into this pulpit, there had been the business of God take place in the lives of the congregation and in the corporate congregation together. God is saying to us today, I want to do a new thing in you. Let it begin in you and in me, because when it does, it will revolutionize this congregation and equip us both to minister with a new pastor and to do the work that must be done in this community. Years ago, when I was a little boy growing up, one of my recollections is that My mother, who was quite a student, would have her Bible open, Thompson Chain Reference Bible, I still have it, and her books laying on the desk or on the table all the time. She would spend a couple of hours every day in study and in prayer. And I remember one of those books. It was blue in color. It was old, and the name of it was worn off. She must have used it on a daily basis. Some of you will recognize the name, Streams in the Desert. A few months ago, as I was reading through the book of Isaiah, I came upon these verses of Scripture, and I recognized that these verses of Scripture are where the name of that book came from. It was a devotional book with a devotion for every day, much like our daily bread, only instead of for a month or a 3 months, it was for the entire year, 365 daily devotions. But the idea of it was that in relationship with the Holy Spirit, God wants to do something new in every one of us who is here today. Now, the book itself was addressed to Christians and was based upon three assumptions. They are these: that Christians, real Christians, go through dry places. They grow through spiritual deserts. Secondly, that the reader, whoever he or she may be, could be going through one of those dry places. And maybe you today are in that kind of a mental and spiritual state. And then thirdly, that God can do something about that. Don't miss that. Now, I want to address my message from this scripture to three presuppositions. The text contains a promise to Israel that is equally valid to us, which includes three instructional statements that will help us to be prepared to receive the fulfillment of God's promise. Note these points. Number one, we must deal with the past. Forget the former things, says Isaiah. Do not dwell on the past. Now, before Isaiah wrote that statement, he reminded the Israelites of who they were in relationship to God. And he reminded them of what God had previously done for them. He said to them in the previous paragraph, "I am the Lord your Holy One, Israel's Creator and your King." And then he went on to say, "I'm the one who made a way through the sea." He was talking about the Red Sea. "A path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." You see, what God was saying is, "I have already proven myself. I have already demonstrated what I can do for you. Don't miss who I am or what I can do. Be aware of that." And then he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. Reminds me of what Paul said in Philippians in his personal testimony. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, what in the past do we need to deal with? Well, first of all, we need to deal with our past sins. We need to confess them, acknowledge them, make them right with whoever they need to be made right with. Make restitution where possible. And make sure that our heart is clean before God. I read a long time ago that we will either deal with our past or our past will ultimately deal with us. So we must deal with our past sins and then get them behind us. It's so important that we understand that when we have dealt with them, God has dealt with them. I remember the story of a priest who was struggling with what must have been a horrendous sin in his younger days. And he could never get victory over it. He could never forget it. And he met a woman who was very close to God. And she talked about visiting with God and talking to God and having God talk to her. And one day this priest said to her, sometime when you're talking to God, would you ask him if he knows me? And then ask him if he remembers what I did when I was a young person. And if he has forgiven me, because I've asked forgiveness many times. So time passed and he met up with that woman again. And he asked her if she had done it. And she said, yes, I did. And he said, and what did God say? God said, I know you. I know him. Well, what about this sin that he committed? And she said, God said to me, I don't remember anything about that. You see, our sins are buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. We can't allow them to diminish our power for God in the present. And so we must deal with them or they will deal with us. Then we must deal with our past failures. Do you know that failure can lurk in your soul and limit your present capacity to do anything? You say, I failed here. I failed here. I failed over there. And therefore, I'm a failure. Don't believe it. With God, you can be a success. God did not make you to fail. God made you to succeed. And therefore, put failures behind you and allow the wisdom and power of God to flood your soul. He wants to do a new thing in you. And then forget past successes. It's so easy if you're basically a successful person to say, well, I've succeeded here, and I've succeeded here, and I've succeeded here. Therefore, I will succeed again. Understand that true success is the result of the intervention and power of God. One day, a farmer decided that he needed a new helping hand. And so he put an advertisement in the paper And there were three young men who responded to the advertisement. And he asked each of them the same question. Number one, how long could you work with a stone in your shoe? And the young man thought about it for a minute. He said, I think I could get through a half a day. And he said, all right, you're dismissed. Then he took the second one in and he said, how long do you think you could get through with a stone in your shoe? And he said, well, if I really worked on it, I think I could work a whole day with a stone in my shoe. And then he said to the third one, and what about you, son? How long could you work with a stone in your shoe? And he said, a stone in my shoe? I wouldn't put up with it for a minute. He said it would diminish my productivity and efficiency. And so I'd take my shoe off and get rid of the stone and then really give myself to the task at hand. He said, you're hired. You see, these past things are like stones in our shoes that are constantly eating at our innards and saying, you can't, you can't, you can't. And God is saying, but I want to. I want to do a new thing in you. And I'm here to tell you today that God is able to do that. He is able to do the exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But the second point I want to draw from this passage is that we are to delight in the present. Notice the words that are used there. First, the word see. Open your eyes. Pay attention. Look. I'm doing a new thing in your life. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? Don't you perceive it? See, do you have a mindset that is open to receive whatever it is that God wants to do in you and through you today? Not next week or not next month, but today. What is it that God wants to do and is attempting to do in your life? Friday evening, I sat down to relax a little bit and couldn't find anything on television that would put me to sleep. And so I turned to Channel 40 and there was a young black pastor. I mean, he was a fireball. I don't know what his name was. I think it was Smith. But he was preaching a sermon and I was taking mental notes. He was preaching on the subject, getting to the other side. Now, I want you to know that all of us have times in our lives when we need to get to the other side of somewhere, the other side of something. You do understand that, don't you? And most of us are in the process of crossing over something, getting from point A to point B. And he talked about Jesus in the boat with the disciples. You remember he got in the boat with the disciples and he said to them, go over to the other side. Go over to the other side. And then he promptly laid down and went to sleep. And the disciples started across that lake to get to the other side. And in the middle of the lake, suddenly, unexpectedly, a storm broke loose. It must have been something similar to the hurricanes down in Florida for the last 2 weeks. At any rate, the waves began to toss that boat around and the wind began to blow it around. And they thought, sure, they were going to sink. And there was Jesus snoring. Well, it doesn't say that exactly. But it does say he was sleeping. And I wouldn't be surprised that he was human enough to snore. So somebody went over and shook him and said, Lord, aren't you afraid that we're going to drown? That the boat's going to sink? That something disastrous is going to happen? He looked at them and smiled and said, oh, you have little faith. And then he said to the waves, peace, peace, be still. And to the winds, stop blowing, stop blowing. And suddenly, everything changed. And some of you are saying right now in your heart, I wished it was that easy, Pastor. I wished it would happen that suddenly to me. I wished the winds of life would stop blowing upon me and the waves would stop rocking my boat. But understand that to some degree, that possibility is there. Remember who He is. He is the God that took Israel out of Egypt and brought them to the shores of the Red Sea. He is the God who parted the Red Sea and let the Israelites go through on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, about 2 to 3 million strong, it was this same God that released the waters to collapse on the Egyptian army. And their weapons of warfare were washed up on the bank, never to be used again against Israel. You see, God can do a new thing in you and a new thing in me. He can begin a surge that would permeate the church. He can go further than that until it impacts the entire community and ultimately the nation. God wants to do a new thing. The question is, do we want that new thing to happen? Can we tolerate a movement of God that will transform our lives and make a difference and break up the norms in which we are fixed? It might upset the schedule of the day. It might change the way that we operate and the way that we live. Isn't it better just to have the status quo? Of course not. God wants to do a new thing. And then thirdly, develop a perspective on the future. Notice what he says, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Do you know the difference between the person who accomplishes great things and the one who doesn't? It's only this, that the person who accomplishes great things has great dreams. And the person who doesn't, doesn't. What are your dreams? What are your dreams in relationship to God? Remember the comic strip Marvin. One day, Marvin was drinking his bottle. You know, he was pretty big to be drinking a bottle. And Marvin said, I have great dreams for the future. He said, I set goals. I set long-range goals, and I set short-range goals. And somebody said to him, Marvin, what are your short-range goals? Well, he said, my short-range goal is this, to be sure that I have another bottle in 4 hours. Then they said, what's your long-range goal? To be sure I have another bottle in 8 hours. Isn't that the way it is with most of it? When was the last time you projected into the future? And what did you project? How do you believe and trust God that you can make an impact on the lives of other people? Or is it just that you want to fill your pocket and fill your life and your mind with frivolities? In times of trouble, it is easy to wonder if God hears us. But God does hear our prayers. And God is able to answer them. God is more moved by our hurts than by our eloquence, just like a human father. Have you told God how you hurt? There is an interesting story that grows out of the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man by the name of Jim Redman was watching his son Derek, a 26-year-old Briton, who was favored to win the 400-meter race. Things were going well until halfway into the semifinal heat, and suddenly Derek collapsed on the track with a shrill shriek. Grabbed his leg, and there were fiery pains that seared through his flesh. He had torn the hamstring. As the medical attendants and coaches approached, he pushed them away, and he fought to get to his feet. And once he was on his feet, then he began hopping down the track. When he reached the stretch, a big man pushed through the crowd. He was wearing a t-shirt that read, "Have you hugged your children today?" And a hat on which was this inscription, "Just do it. Just do it." The man was Jim Redman, Derek's father. He came to his son and he said, "Son, you know you don't have to do this." And his son said to him, "Yes, I do, Dad. I have to do it." "Well then," said Jim, as he put his arm around his son's shoulder and wrapped his son's arm around his shoulder, "we're going to do it together." And they did. They hobbled into the finish gate, and the crowd clapped and then stood and cheered, then wept as the father and the son together did what needed to be done. What made the father do it? I suppose it was because he was a father. And because his son was in need. It was the pain in that child that caught the father's heart. And out of the father's heart, he went to his son. And assisted him in the completion of the task that was before him. Can I whisper something in your ear? God is our Heavenly Father. And He hears our prayers in the same way that Jim Redman identified with the pain of his son. Our attempts, feeble as they may be, can be fulfilled in the power of God. Maybe not the way we want them, but the way God wants them. The important thing is to understand that God is for us and He's not against us. God is not standing in the shadows with a whip to beat us, but He's sitting in the stand, ready to cheer us and willing to help us. Have you poured out your heart to Him lately? Have you asked Him what new thing He wants to do in you? And have you made yourself available for Him to do it? Let us pray. Our Father, we read this passage of Scripture and understand something more of the heart of God. We get bogged down with life. Sometimes around us there is nothing but darkness, and within us nothing but fear. But thank You for being God. And today we pray, as we reach out our hands to You, that You will lift us, that You will help us to open our eyes and see that You're about to do a new thing. And then grant, O God, that we might be available to let You do it in and through us, because You are God. These things we ask in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Would you stand with me now?